Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of 2 clinically studied ingredients in 1 revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit TrinitySchool.org for more info now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hi, I'm Nedra Glover-Tawab, and you need to hear this. This week, I'm in conversation with Dr. Raquel Martin. We'll be in conversation about intentional parenting. Whether you are a parent or you are an adult child, if you are thinking about becoming a parent, I think this is a wonderful episode for you to tune into. Dr. Martin, I am so excited to have you on this show. You have a huge following on Instagram and I'm sure other platforms. Your work centers on mental health and relationships, and I am always amazed by your videos on parenting in particular. The thing that sticks out for me is the way you approach parenting in this intentional way. I think for some of us, we call it gentle parenting. For others, it might be new age parenting. But I like to think of it as parenting with intention and treating children as people, which is, I guess, new age. Maybe it's more new age. But tell me a little bit about how you develop your personal and professional practice of parenting.
So I always state that I just parent like my children are human beings. Because some people will be like, are you gentle parenting or are you conscious parenting? And I'm like, I don't know either of those frameworks. And as a scientist, I'm not going to subscribe to something that I haven't done a full literature review on. I just treat my children like human beings. I lead with the aspect of respect instead of obedience. You know, obedience builds resentment. Respect builds relationships, but it also takes more time. And it's also from, one, I was parented in an amazing way. Also, though, training in trauma-informed care, trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, child trauma, dealing with assault and attachment disorders, and learning parent-child interaction therapy. Like, there are so many modalities that I had to learn through my training that some things I was like, oh, I'm all for this, some things I wasn't. But the underlying aspect was just being more intentional about all of the encounters that you have, slowing down. I always state that like I try to regulate myself so I can co-regulate my children and then try to just chill. You know, like people always ask like, oh, is it easier being a family and child family psychologist? And I said, no, just because I know it's developmentally appropriate for him to throw that item doesn't mean I don't want to rip my face off every time he throws that item. My husband asked me the other day, like, is it normal for him to be this dramatic? I said, yeah, it's rough, ain't it? Like, it doesn't make it any
when we
easier.
Have the freedom to be that dramatic.
Yeah, he has the freedom to do that.
Yeah, some of us never had that freedom. So we think it's weird when children are not listening or throwing stuff. It's like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with these kids? It's like, they're free. They feel comfortable being themselves.
Yes. One of the teachers at my oldest, because I'm a 4-year-old and a 20-month-old, she was like, I dropped off books because there aren't many books that look like my baby in his school. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, which is pretty typical. And I already know teachers already have enough on their hands. So I just buy the books and give them the books. Like, I'm not expecting y'all to do anything else. You guys already have to decorate your whole stuff and do everything. And when I was dropping them off, she said, I just told Russell, like, I can't wait to our parent-teacher conference, because she said he does not listen. I said, he don't, do he? Well, here are these books. I'm gonna see you on Thursday. You're not telling me anything I don't know. He's used to being at home with Pop-Pop and Gigi, or Mama and Dada, or Titi and Lulu, whose whole entire world is, Russell, what would you like? Do you have any questions? Mm. You always are going to get a turn because it's just you, versus going to school and him being like, hey, my hand is raised. What do you mean you're not going to call on me? I am Russell. You're not going to call on me? Like, there's going to be a transition. And I had the conversation with my husband and he's just like, should we be concerned? And I said, no, there's going to be some transition between him getting all the attention from people who are enamored by their grandbaby and their baby, than people who are amazing at their job, but they also have like 15 other kids in the class. So I just get used to, I let my child query. When it comes to disrespectful, I enjoyed my child going toe-to-toe with me. And I know that seems like a lot, but he is such a critical thinker. Is it exhausting? Yes. Have I said to him recently, my new thing I say is like, be smart in school, okay? You know, just answer the question. But he goes toe to toe with me with questions, and he's not disrespectful. He just has queries. And I genuinely love it, because if you can't ask your most salient relationship questions, if you don't feel comfortable, like with the person who is around you your whole life, asking them questions or problem solving, then like, what do I expect for him when he's in a different scenario and there's an adult and something doesn't seem right, or it makes him feel uncomfortable, like in his body? Like, what can I expect? I always state, like, your children should go a little toe to toe with you, right? Like, it's a dangerous place to have children who just blindly follow people just because they're adults, despite like what it makes them feel, how they feel in their body, whether it feels yucky. Like, that's a dangerous place to be. So I typically, you know, facilitate like, yes, ask me questions, but I always say my most important job is to keep you healthy and safe. So if I'm saying like, if I'm not giving you a bunch of info, it's because I'm trying to keep you safe. So it's like, you know, if don't ask me why a million times you have to move out of the way of the car. Move out of the way of the car, honey. And we'll talk about that in five minutes once we are out of the way of the car. But I always try to apologize to my child, make mistakes in front of my child, normalize mistakes, and just have normal conversations with him, which are getting more fun as he gets older, because I don't know if it's all children, but he's a little like witty, which I'm just like, he has like a dry, corny humor, which I love because I'm a very corny person. So when he makes these corny jokes, like, I'm on the floor dying laughing. And my husband is just like rolling his eyes. Like, this is, I'll give it a chuckle, but I'll laugh about it all day because he's just like funny.
I think for children to be able to be themselves, it does require them to have a safe adult. Mm-hmm. And there are some adults, because of who they are and because of their, I would say, lack of mental health care, it makes sense for them. You know, it may have made sense for them to raise children who just followed, right?
Yeah.
Because a kid asking questions is like, what are you saying about me? I can't tolerate the discomfort of having to ask it. So it might be easier for me to say, don't ask me any questions, right? Yeah. Just do what I said. And I think sometimes when you grow up in that environment, it feels like, oh my gosh, I can't talk to this person. But it's really a lack of, you know, this person being able to withstand any accountability. Because sometimes kids do have really good questions that are like, yeah, that adult wasn't right. And that could be offensive to an adult with a really fragile ego. And I think sometimes kids are just talking, you know, because they're trying to figure out the world, make sense of it. And when you have an adult who hasn't processed these things of, you know, I'm just thinking like, why didn't your husband help you with dinner? It's like, be quiet, kid. It's like, seems like a reasonable question,
yeah.
Right?
Like, versus me will be like a slow pan. Like, I don't know. Why don't we ask him? Sir.
Yeah. Kids will say stuff. And if an adult hasn't dealt with their stuff or they're not ready to acknowledge these things, it comes across as you can't talk to me about anything, and not actually like, I'm not ready to talk about that. I don't have the words. I don't know how to process that yet. Ooh, that's a really fragile thing for me to even talk about. You know, it is truly helpful when adults can do some of their work before they have children. When you have children, I swear a lot of your work is presented in a way like never before, stuff you didn't even know. You know, it's like kids just bring up, and not in a bad way, but stuff is like, oh my gosh, like I didn't even know I was this impatient until I had to wait for you to tie your shoes. I can't believe it.
Yeah. And it's also, they're never on the same, like our not hierarchy, but our agenda is never the same. Like a kid's agenda is to have fun. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, like on time, what is that? Like, I also feel like, you know, with parenting, like externally, you know, I'm calm and as working with kids and working in trauma, and I've worked in the prison system, I'm used to like having a poker face and just get, but internally I am screaming at like, hey, 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 we're going to be late. We're going to be late. We're going to be late. In my head, I'm like, ah. Outside, I'm like, okay, well, how about we look at what we're doing? That's how I can tell we're focusing. Let's grab that sock. Please let me know if you need any help. In my mind, I am like, it's basically let the bodies hit the floor plan, like at max volume. But I also know that that's not really going to help him, right? Like he's not going to be receptive to that. If anything, it's just going to make things more difficult. And then always remembering that his agenda is different than mine, but it also doesn't work every single time. Sometimes I'm also like, I have to back up and apologize for raising my voice because he's so used to like it not being a thing that if I do raise my voice, he's like, I don't like when you talk to me like that. We don't raise our voice, mama. And I'm like, you're right. Now, did you just scream at your brother 2 seconds ago? You sure did. However, we're not on that. So like, let's like, you know, like he's very good at pointing out like the rules or like our guidelines in our home and what we value when I like mess up a little bit. Because I always apologize to the point where he'll just wait and be like, I'll wait for the apology because I know it's coming.
My oldest will do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, my oldest will say, so-and-so teacher yells all the time. I'm like, who yells the most in this house? You yell the most. So like, I bet you don't yell more than that teacher. I bet you yell more than that teacher, yeah. Right? Like, it's like shocking that people yell. I'm like, you yell.
it's a lot.
We're going to pause our conversation there and we'll be back after break.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of 2 clinically studied ingredients in 1 revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Let's talk about some things that might happen when parents have not done any emotional healing with their stuff as they're parenting. Like, what sort of things might come up for them?
I think a lot of parents will be surprised by their reactions to scenarios. And it doesn't always mean it's a big scenario, like there was a huge tantrum and I had a big response and I couldn't believe I had that big response. It could just be something as simple as a statement that brings something up for you that you haven't addressed regarding how you feel about yourself. Mm. If your child says they don't like a certain aspect of their self or their body or their hair or even their voice, and you're just like, I never really thought about what this would be like to parent, or that was also something that I didn't like when I was younger and I don't like now. So how do I address it? I feel like the biggest commonality is individuals being surprised by their reactions to things or their thought processes or statements that they say, and afterwards thinking, why did I say that? I don't 100% agree with that statement, but it was like a knee-jerk reaction, or feeling concerned that they don't always know the answer, because sometimes instead of slowing down, parents and caregivers feel the need to answer the question right then and there and not realize that it's okay to say, I don't know, but we can find out together, or I need time to think about this, or I never thought about it that way. Let's, you know, dig deeper into it.
Yeah, I remember early on we had a scenario with a grandparent who said about my oldest daughter, like, you know, I'm sure you're so happy she has your complexion and she's not darker. And I'm like, ooh, we don't have colorism issues. Please don't talk about that. And mm-hmm. She was a baby, right? Like, the baby didn't understand. But I think with children, like, your stuff comes up, like, that is your issue and it's coming out in parenting and grandparenting. And those things live with us. You know, many of the things that adults are battling are things that their parents had issues with. When you have a parent who's constantly dieting and then they're talking about your body as if you should have an issue with your body, it sort of leads you toward an issue with your body. So adults in general, we have to be conscious of how we're talking to children about our issues, what we're saying that is really what we mean about ourselves.
And being able to acknowledge that that's okay. you know, like, you know, when things pop up, and just realizing that even if it's an automatic thought and not knowing how to process it, slowing down and being like, I did not know that it was embedded in me to have a preference of a different skin tone. Like, where did that come from? I identify as like very much pro-Black. And then that was my automatic first thought. And I said it. And thinking about understanding that we don't grow up in a vacuum. And when it comes down to it, these things are like, when it comes down to like stereotypes and things that are embedded in the system, these things are embedded in media and movies and, you know, books. And how many times can you remember growing up and reading a book in school that had a protagonist that looked like you and wasn't in like the same character development or things like that? Like, a lot of times we find things that we have to do work on ourselves so that we can be even more intentional when it comes to parenting our children. For example, I just knew I was having like a million girls. I just knew I was just going to have like a bevy, like just the whole entire house was just going to be womanism all day. Mm. And we were just going to gang up on my husband every day. Like, that's what we were going to do. Like, quiz him on bell hooks quotes and, you know, all this. And that's just like how I always imagined it, to the point where I was just like, I had this whole list of like teen books and I would have these books according to age group, and they would all be like predominantly, you know, women, Black girls and stuff like that. And then my first one was a boy. And I was like, nah, that's his leg. I think let's get somebody else in here because I'm having girls. And then the next one was a boy. And I'm like, no, well, okay. And I had to really reframe the aspect of the books that I was thinking of. A whole new set of fears came up in me about rearing, you know, Black youth is difficult anyway, but rearing someone who's going to be, you know, a young Black man. I had to think about that. Perceptions that I had. My husband and I had to do work about stuff just as simple as from, I don't know, if we're comfortable with them having certain color items, not we, it's not typically me, but like, or having to challenge certain things like affection. If you're not used to seeing family members be affectionate with boys, how do you feel that's going to come out in your parenting? I remember when we had a conversation about having a kitchen set that was like a way bigger conversation than I thought it had to be, but also just knowing that we're coming in with different things of the way that we are reared and stuff like that. Rough play. It's probably always going to be a state of contention when it comes to football in my home, because it's going to be a firm no, you know, like just certain things come up and you don't even realize that. Like my son, he's so used to me making sure I finish work before he gets home that he would just come in the house and he would just know I'm in here. He would just walk in the house and start talking because he just knows like mama's in the kitchen or doing something like that. But I would leave work early to do that. And then one time I said something like, he asked me where I go when I went somewhere and I said, I go to work. And he said, no, dada works. And like, when I tell you, I did not know how much I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean? I'm not rearing a young man who doesn't think women don't work too outside of the home. But it was just because he's like, when I come home, you're home. Dad is the one who picks me up. So clearly dad is at work and you're just biding your time until I get to come home and grace you with my presence again, mama. Like that's what your life is. But it brought so much out of me of not wanting to rear a child who doesn't think that women have the ability to work or be outside the home and not having a woman waiting for you at home. And mind you, he was three. And I was just like, hey, talking to myself, I'm like, I think this has escalated quickly, Raquel. I don't think that's what your three-year-old meant.
I put my foot in my mouth a few weeks ago. I work from home typically. I do go into the office a day or two a week. And my daughter had to stay home and I'm always like, when I'm at home, I'm working, I'm doing all this stuff. But the day she stayed home, I had a spa day scheduled. And and she had to go to the spa with me and sit there through my massage and sit there through my pedicure. I'm like, I promise you, I'm at home working hard.
That would be the one. That would be the one.
Really?
Just be honest. How many spa days do you really get? And
one
that's the day that she, you know,
actually
one of my, and that's the day she.
I'm like, I am at home working very hard. I'm getting packages off the porch. I'm getting the mail out of the box. I'm making sure the meat is thawed by 4 o'clock, and I am working. But you know what? That brings to mind, like, our children need to see us resting as well. I think about the rest that we did not see with some of the elders in our families, the women for sure. You know, sometimes men even. I didn't see a lot of resting. I had a grandmother who cooked breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and if she sat down, it was like she was still moving. She was one of those people who sat down and her leg would shake. It was like, I got to get up and do something, right? So it was like, you know, this constant like caretaking. You know, I was raised by a single parent who worked and came home and cooked and, you know, like all of this stuff. And so sometimes knowing that, hey, your parent is a person, they need a spa day, they need to go to bed early, they want to watch these, you know, shows on TV too, they don't always want to be doing and going. One of the things that I will say to my kids is, hey, everyone, I'm about to sit down. If you need anything, need it now. Like, once I sit down, I'm done. Because I don't sit down like a lot. So it's like, hey, if I'm sitting down, please let me. Don't ask me for anything.
I might need to do that.
Yeah, this is not the time to need. Like, anticipate what your needs might be. You need a step stool, a bottle open. Let me know ahead of time, because for the next 20 minutes, I'm going to watch this, you know, short show and drink this cup of tea uninterrupted.
I will tell you that seeing my mom and my grandma and my great grandma do all of these things and not sit down, it was actually one of the things that I worked through in therapy with, you know, the overt and covert messages about what rest is, whether it's appropriate or inappropriate. And it's one of the reasons why I always state, like, just burning the cape of Black Superwoman syndrome and acknowledging like signs and symptoms and things like that, because I actually had to work through that, because there's no way to give my children the parents they deserve if I'm never taking a rest, if I'm not modeling appropriate boundaries, if I am not sticking to things that I have decided will guide my behavior. Like, there's no way for them to get the parent they deserve. They deserve a well-regulated, well-rested, present parent. And when I am, you know, always picking them up when I don't feel like it, you know, which is violating my boundary of personal space, or when I am staying up late at night, even though I should try to get back all the time that I didn't have during the day, and I'm just staying up even though I'm tired, then I am violating my boundaries when it came to like what my sleep routine is. And then I'm cranky the next day. So like, I typically have to be aware of some of these things. You know, I just were embedded in how I typically saw women that looked like me as moms on TV, or read about them in books, or even my mom. I talked about it in therapy of being like, you know, I totally understand that beginning with the end of my end in mind got me to where I am with like my bachelor's and my master's and my doctorate. But it's that doesn't serve me in a personal space. It served me in an academic space and a career space. But having to work through, why is it so difficult for me to sit down? And why do I think it's so normal to do like 50,000 things? Even though I can see in my mom, I want her to rest, why can't I accept it in myself? And it's really important to model that for children. Like, my oldest knows to say when, like, if he needs space, because if I get touched out, picking you up is just gonna, you know, really just like, it just feels overwhelming. So I let him know that I need space, or I'll like walk to the front room, or I'll read a book. And if he wants to read his book near me, he can. But I want it to normalize, like, if I don't feel comfortable with doing something with my body, if I don't want to pick you up, and if I don't want to hug, then that's my right to have that aspect of consent. And I do that with him too. I ask him if I can give him a hug. I ask him if I can give him a kiss. I ask him if I can take a picture. I swear for like 6 months straight, I never had a kiss, because it was a no. It was a firm no every time. And I made this joke, like, you know, allowing your children to understand the importance of consent is difficult, because when my child tells me he doesn't want to kiss, I say, okay. And I said, I go and cry in the corner like an adult, because, you know, I don't want him to think that like I'm going to whine and beg and up the ante so that he sacrifices what he wants. I have to take a step away and be like, man, that sucks, but that's his right. And I think sometimes some parents will like, oh, but I really wanted a hug and I really wanted a kiss. And it's kind of just teaching your children that like, okay, well, their needs are more important than mine, so I need to sacrifice that.
Yeah. And what that looks like for many folks in adulthood, like when you're outside of your childhood, that sort of turns into a parent who expects you to call them a certain amount, or expects you to spend holidays with them, and, you know, all these different things. And if there's a no, the parent is having a tantrum. I can't believe you. You know, there's a lot of guilt tripping. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's really a sign of a parent who has not been able to emotionally regulate themselves. They certainly haven't thought outside of, wow, how might I be impeding on my child's boundaries? And so, you know, if that isn't corrected in childhood, we have the power to own that in adulthood. That I understand that, you know, this was a tactic, this was a parenting skill that you used to get me in this space, but now I have the power to say no and not worry about how you might feel about it, or I have to clean up your feelings or help you when you're in the corner. That is something that you have to be able to do for yourself.
Exactly. And you know, something that infuriates people a lot is me saying, oh yes, my child is allowed to say no to me. And they're like, excuse me? Like, yeah, my child is allowed to say no to me. Why wouldn't they be able to say no to me? And this is from a child who was not allowed to say no. Like, my mom would like, that was cute. Do what I told you to do and do it quickly. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, like clean your room, clean my room. Cause I let you live here. Like, my mom's amazing. But like, she very much had this dichotomy of, I want you to read and challenge the system and stuff like that, as long as it don't come down to me though. Like, don't be asking me no questions and challenge me, just challenge the system. And with my oldest, we work on like making sure that we respect each other's no. And with, I have 20 month old, and Russell, my oldest, his thing was, oh, well, Jaden didn't say no. So now we got to the point of saying like, okay, so it's not only about verbally saying no, it's also about the fact that like, you see him scrunching up his face when you try to give him a kiss. You see him moving backwards when you try to take something from him. And even though you're asking him to share, he's saying no, right?
He's so saying no through his behavior.
Through his behavior. And that, and you know, yeah. I don't think I would have thought about that until, and this is what happens with a lot of parents. You don't think about it until the situation happens, because we had been working on respecting the verbal no, but my youngest couldn't talk. So Russell, of course, with his little cute self, well, mama, Jada didn't say no. And I said, well, we also respect the nonverbal no too, right? Mm-hmm. Like we look at facial expressions, we look at body language, we look at just him moving away. These are all signs that it is a no. Right. And we also talk about, just because I'm rearing young boys, we also talk about the difference between like a coerced no and an enthusiastic no. Because as someone who's also teaching at a university at the undergrad and grad level, the level of concerns I have with children, you know, they're still children. Their brains aren't developed till 25. I think it's like 27 for young men. The concerns I have about individuals not knowing the different aspects of consent and like no means no, and also looking for whether or not it's an enthusiastic no or coercion. These kind of things come out, and we're parents. We have one of the most, you know, important jobs ever, because this is where it comes from. It comes from us. My child is always going to know that, because I reared him in that aspect. But I'm around students who don't even know that consent can be removed at any time. I literally had a conversation about the fact that consent can be removed at any time, because we just got into a topic of children thinking, well, you know, I said yes, but then I didn't like it. So then I said no. But I guess since I said yes at first, that's not how it works.
We'll get right back to it after this short break.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of 2 clinically studied ingredients in 1 revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
On any level, you know, whether you're a parent, whether you're a teacher, whether you're in the grocery store and you see a child, your aunt, your uncle, anyone listening, I think has the power to respect a child's boundaries. So it doesn't necessarily have to be their parent. It's wonderful if it's their parent, but what if it's your teacher? What if it's the school social worker? What if it's the, you know, the lady in the neighborhood who understands that you don't want to give her a hug today? Like, all of those points of contact are an opportunity for kids to feel a bit more confident about saying no. So you can be that empowering adult, whether you have children or not. I think sometimes we think like, oh, the parents have to do it. I have to do it with my niece. I have to do it with my cousins. I have to do it, you know, when I'm chaperoning a field trip. I have to do it with all children. It's not just for my children. It is for, you know, children in my community. You know, when they say it takes a village, this is what the village looks like. It's like having boundaries in any setting. You know, it's not just, oh, I will only do this with my children. It's if a child doesn't want to talk to me as a stranger, I mean, I've had strangers challenge that. Your kid didn't say hi. Well, you're a stranger. Why should they speak to you?
Because of the obedience piece. It's because they want the obedience piece. It's obedience. It's because, oh, I'm the adult. Oh, okay. Well, you're supposed
you
to
already displaying the energy we don't want. Exactly. I mean, if that's your attitude, stranger, like, we don't do that energy. Let me go ahead and get my books out this library so I could go.
Let me get me and my baby up out of here before we have a little problem.
Let me go ahead and get my little chai latte. Get on out of here. You know,
there's so many times parents or adults overall are saying, like, you know, you're supposed to respect people. And when I would deal with this in family therapy, and they're like, my child isn't respecting me. And I said, OK, well, just to make sure we're on the same page, because I want to make sure we're utilizing the same vocab. What do you identify as respect? And their definition of respect is just blindly following them. It's not about building it over time. It's not about having you have the openness to share. It's about, if I ask you to do something, you do it. I don't want you to ask me why. I want you to do it quickly. I don't want to hear back talk. And I said, that's obedience, right? Like that's not respect. And I feel like it's very difficult for people to provide something that they didn't know they had the wrong term for, because one of the things I also get when it comes to parenting and psychology is people really mix up boundaries versus rules. And I'm like, well, you know, someone can violate a rule and your boundary still stays firm. So those are two different things. But also the aspect of obedience versus respect. And when it comes to this realm of parenting, there's way more language involved. A lot of times people will comment on how much my son talks or his vocab. And I said, that's because I'm constantly answering his questions. I'm constantly having to explain to him, or even go, like, if he's like, oh, can I go to the left or the right? And I'm like, oh, I guess they both go in the direction that you want to go. Which way do you want to go? Right? Like, if you're consistently having these conversations with children, allowing them to critically think, allowing them to ask you questions, you're increasing their verbal acumen. You're leading to their ability to be able to have a more dialogue, be able to advocate for themselves. And it's difficult if you don't even have the language for it, because children who are used to asking questions and being affirmed and being apologized to and having conversations, they're more verbal. Because they're used to having conversations. I'm like, yeah, he talk all the time, honey. And you may think it's just because I'm a talker, which is also true. But I also talk to my child about everything. And he asks me questions and I answer them. I always state that, like, my poor husband, like, I'm very much a big talker. My husband is from Nashville. He's like, I feel like I always say he's like typical Southern man and, you know, man, you know, he uses the words when he doesn't want to, when he does, when he does. But, like, he's surrounded by talkers. And he talks more now too. Like, he's always talked a lot to me. You know, we've been together for like 14 years, but like, he talks more now all the time. Like, he wasn't reared in a home where he could ask 50,000 questions. It's also the fact that, like, parents were working. He has two other siblings. We have stuff to do. I don't have time to answer your questions about, like, when can I do this? When can I do that? What, you know, so that's how he was brought up. And we typically parent the way that we were parented. It was a learning curve for both of us to be like, well, he's asking. I feel like, you know, the no thing is a line. And I'm like, I totally get that. Well, let's talk about that, because I'm all for my child telling me no. Do I like it every single second? No.
My youngest child has figured out to say no, thank you, but she says it for everything. So it's like, okay, go take your shower. No, thank you.
No, thank you.
I'm like, girl, that is not optional. Like, yo, you will not have BO, okay?
That's when I bring in the healthy and safe thing, because with my son, it's the toothbrushing. And I'm just like, honey. And he always wants to be so close. And I'm like, sir. Oh, like, my goodness. Like, right. And that's when I bring up the healthy and safe thing. Like, listen, no, thank you. I get that. But, like, you know, if you don't brush your teeth, all those germs, you're going to swallow those germs, or you're going to get sick. And he loves school so much. And I said, and then you're going to miss school, because we don't send kids to school. So you brush your teeth, or you're going to have to stay home for school eventually, because you're going to get sick, right? Like, my most important jobs are to keep you healthy and safe. Luckily, that works sometimes, but I still have to repeat it like 50,000 times. Like, the level of patience I have to have. And to be honest, I don't always have it. Like, there are times when I have to apologize and make that statement. And the best apology is change behaviors. I have to apologize for, I'm sorry I raised my voice because it's time to go and we were rushing. Next time, I'm just going to get you up earlier so that I get used to the fact that you like to skip 20 times between the living room and the kitchen before taking one bite of the waffle, you know, like, cause part of that is me. A lot of the solutions are stuff that I have to do. Like, I would love to sleep till 7, but you take an hour to get ready. So now we both up at 6, Like, yep. Does it suck? Yes. But this is what we have to do because his agenda is fun. He's not going to rush quicker. And sometimes I get it wrong. Like, raise my voice, apologize, talk about how I'm going to change it and work on it next time. Like, that's it. But I'm not going to get it right every single time because it is frustrating. And I do have things to be on time for. And I can't keep dropping you off late. There's no reason that the front desk woman should know me, my name, and my favorite color. Like, there's no way she should know that. I got to check him in so often. What's up, Raquel? Nothing much. What you doing today? What you got for lunch? What you got for lunch today? You know, mind you, it's because my child is always late. It's just like,
what she I'm knows hearing, me. What I'm hearing in this is, whether you have children or not, this is a beautiful opportunity for us to figure out what we did not get and mm-hmm. to work through those things. That patience. I hear patience coming up a lot. Like, how have we become impatient with ourselves? How have we not explored our boundaries for personal touch or conversations with other people? I'm hearing a lot of the parenting work and for sure, like the challenges that you have with your children or with other people is really about you. And I think that's what relationships are about, right? Like, it's teaching you like this is your area of growth. You know, the things that are easy are the things that are easy. You know, it's very easy for me to, you know, listen to people. It can be a little harder for me to be patient with them. For others, patience comes a little more. So the challenges we have with people is revealing, you know, those spaces if we want to be in relationship, you know, where we may need to continue some of the work. And we have to ask those really hard questions of what did I not get and what do I need?
Yes, I always say that's the biggest thing in terms of communication breakdowns when we're talking about conflict, like in session or in class, when I'm talking about conflict with others or family members or even self. And I challenge individuals to ask yourself and ask the person, like, okay, you're having a disconnect. What did I get versus what did I need? Like, I got solutions and I needed a listening ear, right? And even just acknowledging the fact that typically if what you got was what you needed, you're not really having difficulty with the conflict. But even just normalizing the fact that you have to teach people how to treat you at times. Mm-hmm. Not everyone's going to know how to treat you, especially if you don't know how to treat yourself. You mentioned such a good point of like, where are you not being patient with yourself? And most of the time, there are so many realms where individuals are not being patient with themselves or shaming themselves. And I always say, like, with shame, and it's like a coin. One side is shame. The other side is compassion, right? You have to acknowledge that. So it's hard to provide children and provide others, whether they're your children or children in general, with things that you don't provide to yourself. Like, parenting is all about modeling. I very much, you know, my children are not my world. I always say, like, you know, I heard it described once, like, they're in my galaxy. Like, they're one of the planets, you know, but, you know, I'm not, sometimes we about to go to the sun, you're, you know, Mars and Pluto or whatever. But it's also the fact that, like, I want to model normal experiences. I consider it to be one of the most important things that I do because I'm contributing humans to this world. I want to normalize certain experiences. I want you to get used to conflict doesn't require degradation. It's not conflict that's the issue. It's poor conflict resolution. We're going to disagree. Let's talk about that. I need space. Let's talk about you providing space. We talk about consent and me providing compassion to myself so I know that they deserve a well-rested parent who has activities outside of them. I don't want my children to have an unhealthy barometer of, well, everything was sacrificed for me. Nobody ever said no to me. Because it's a dangerous space where no one says no to you. So you think it's odd for someone to say no to you. Power dynamics. And one of the things that I think about differently is when I thought I was going to have like a whole million girls in the house, I thought about power dynamics and rearing young girls. I still think about power dynamics, but I think about it in terms of the fact that I'm rearing young men. And I need them to be aware of consent and coercion and healthy yeses and unhealthy no's and power dynamics. I need them to grasp this because there are so many people who don't. And like, you know, our job is going to be done eventually. Like, I totally get, like, we can't put everything on us. But for now, they're going to learn that from me. So even when shifting the aspect of having boys, I was like, it shifted in me. Like, I was thinking of teaching girls about power dynamics from a different realm. Now I'm like, we really have to, I need you to understand consent. I need you to understand no means no. I need you to understand just joking and saying, oh, no, that's a no. Like, I really need them to grasp this. And I want them to normalize that, because I want my children to be so normalized in the fact that we ask questions, that there are no secrets, that we respect each other's no, that we have conversations, that any person that doesn't do that, any environment that doesn't respect them, there's already an alarm going off, because they're so used to being in a healthy environment that they can pick out the unhealthy ones quicker. And it's such an amazing, I would say, responsibility that all individuals, adults, whether you have children or not, you can have that amazing responsibility that we're rearing a new generation of children who they're so used to, like, people make mistakes. That's not my identity, that they try new things. They're so used to respect that when things, people are being disrespectful, it's a group aspect, a community aspect to call someone in. We rear them in this thing that's so normal that unhealthy is like a red flare. They're like, oh, whoa. Mm-mm. Not around here, partner. Not around here. Like, you know, like, that's not what we're doing. I feel like it's such an amazing job to have, and another amazing, even like, responsibility with community, because it doesn't just have to be your child. You can respect, just like you mentioned on the field trip, you can respect, a niece and a nephew. It's just, if we can create a new generation of, you know, stuff, a lot of people really get bogged down on, you know, I was raised differently. And I always say, listen, as a psychologist, do you know the results of how we were raised? Because I do. Mm-hmm. I wrote my dissertation. You know, mm-hmm. like, it's not, it's, it, you know.
Here are the results of the 90s. Results. Here are the results of the 80s.
So why
let's
can't we choose different?
Back.
You know, when they're just like, well, who says this worked? Well, I'm going to tell you what didn't work. This, you know, like, wow. why not try something different? Treat them as humans, and we can foster this environment where it's just so normalized. People make mistakes. We try something different. We respect no. We try something different. Like, there's so many children who adults who fear because they just never got no normalized, or they always thought they had to be perfect, or they felt like they couldn't take a rest. And it comes out, you know. If it didn't come out, I would have a job. It would probably be doing something else. But like,
Dr. Martin, where can the people find you?
I am on all of the interwebs as Raquel Martin, PhD. I have a podcast, Mind Your Mental Podcast. We have 2 seasons out. We will be having a 3rd season next year. Hopefully you will also be on that season, which will be phenomenal. Yes. But I post pretty regularly just about like mental health content, talking about how my children have how I work for them and what they ask me to do that day. And just trying to just normalize the aspect of, you know, it may feel tough because it is tough, but it's you always have an aspect of community and safe space where you're able to get education and possibly a chuckle, because it's very difficult for me to stay serious for even a 90-second video. Like, I can never, I'd be like, and then I just say something inappropriate and I'm like, yeah, well, what was that? 20 seconds? We tried. Like, we really tried.
And well, it's only inappropriate if it doesn't land well with your audience.
And it always does. It always
does. Yeah, so it's not inappropriate. It's appropriate.
Yeah, it's appropriate. I'm just a goofball. Yeah. I'm always going to be like this. Like, if you're just working, honestly, in trauma and with child and family therapy, I have had a child be fine 1 second, like, throw a chair the next and ask for Teddy Grahams 1 second. And that's just 10 minutes into the session. We got 40 more minutes to go. Like, you know, so it's just like, well, here we are. You just gotta get used to it. That, and just a reminder, parenting will teach you more about yourself than anything else. I think that's what a lot of people go into parenting thinking, like, I'm gonna learn so much about my child. You're gonna learn more about you. And it's amazing to have that evolution of thought and gift that in your relationship with your child or with children in general.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for your time today, Dr. Martin.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You Need to Hear This is an iHeart production hosted by me, Nedra Glover-Tawab. Our executive producer is Joelle Bonique. Our senior producer and editor is Mia Dawn Taylor. Send us a voice memo with your questions about boundaries and relationships at youneedtohearthis@iheartmedia.com. Please be sure to rate our show wherever you listen to it and share this episode with someone who needs to hear this. Talk to you next time.
Tired of
tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.